In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If I were to ask you to imagine Jesus, what might come to mind? It might be a favored icon, or perhaps a favored representation of Jesus in classical art, or maybe a crucifix, or maybe, if your mind is twisted by media like mine, you would think of Jim Caviezel in the movie The Passion of the Christ. And if I were to ask you about the Father, what would come to mind? Perhaps an image of an old man, crowned and bearded, kind of like the image of the Father in our own cathedral, or the one in the Creation of Adam by Michelangelo, which is found in the Sistine Chapel. It's relatively easy to imagine Jesus and what he looked like, because we really kind of know what he looked like because of the Shroud of Turin. And if you don't believe in the Shroud of Turin, perhaps you should, because one of the interesting things is that the image on the shroud is awfully like the earliest representations of Jesus in iconography. So there had to have been something going on there. So that's what Jesus looked like. At the very least, he was a human being. And when we imagine the Father, we have to be a little bit more careful, because, after all, the Father has never been incarnate. The Father is spirit. And yet we have an image of what a king and a father should look like. But the Holy Spirit, that's something different. What does a spirit look like? Casper the Friendly Ghost? Well, spirits don't look like anything because they're spirits. And yet the Holy Spirit has appeared, but in some rather strange ways. As a dove, or as tongues of fire. Well, we may not know what the Holy Spirit looks like, but we certainly know what he does. And we know far more about him than we would think we know. Now, I used to say that the Holy Spirit was the unknown member of the Blessed Trinity, and yet that is not the case, because we know quite a bit about the Holy Spirit from sacred scripture. We know about him from his anointing of our Lord at his baptism. We know about him from the promises which our Lord made before his passion, when he said that he would send the Spirit of Truth, the Paraclete, who would remind us of all things. We know of the Holy Spirit from Pentecost. And yes, we know of the Holy Spirit even from the Old Testament, because the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, and the Spirit of God brooded over the waters at the beginning. What more do we know about the Holy Spirit? Well, we know about him from the Creed. Every Sunday we profess our faith. We profess a co-equal member of the Trinity who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is the Lord, the giver of life, who was spoken through the prophets. And we know about the Holy Spirit from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You know the Catechism, right? You got one? You know, a good thing to do today would be to read about the Holy Spirit. In fact, that could be your homework, if I were going to give homework. The Holy Spirit gives life to the Church and to her members. A perfect example of this, the archetypical example, is Pentecost. The disciples went from being the scared group locked away in an upper room for fear of the Jews to evangelical dynamos who profess the gospel fearlessly, not just in Jerusalem, but to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit strengthens believers. Who is it that gives the power to the saints to be saintly? The Holy Spirit. Who gives the strength to the martyrs to lay down their lives rather than deny the truth? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit undoes the effects of sin. At the vigil last night, we heard the account of the Tower of Babel, where through pride, human beings tried to storm the gates of heaven. And as a consequence, the languages of man were set asunder. Well, look what Pentecost does. Takes all of those languages and makes them one language of faith. So that even today, those of you know, there are those who are Catholic who speak all sorts of languages. English, Spanish, Norwegian, Swedish, Frisian, Esperanto. We go through the list of all of the languages, but it's one language of faith that conveys the truth of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit preserves the church from error. In spite of the sins and imperfections of her members, even the clergy, the Holy Spirit prevents the church as a whole from teaching errors in matters of faith and morals. If I were to speak of all of the works of the spirits, we would be here forever. And no one wants that. Because the Holy Spirit has been at work from the very beginning. Even within the time of the church, the works of the Spirit are innumerable. So maybe you're thinking, I want the Holy Spirit. Well, I've got good news for you, my sons and daughters. You already have the Holy Spirit. You received the Holy Spirit in baptism. It was strengthened in confirmation. He is present in all of the works and the sacraments of the church. And if you are in a state of grace, the Holy Spirit is with you. It may be that the Holy Spirit is like air. You really don't notice air unless you don't have any. Likewise with the Holy Spirit, we don't really recognize him unless through our sins he is no longer present to us. So stay in a state of grace and cooperate with the Spirit in following Christ, and you will be led through this world into life everlasting. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.